look.
Hmm.
Why won't you look? Why is it you set your face upon the road always? Why never upon the fields and meadows? Are you frightened of growing things? And look, there's a little graveyard. They're burying someone. Oh, please, can't we stop and see?
Oh, very well. Steady!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. See the flowers they've put down by the grave? Oh, see, Father, they're so pretty. Can't we stay here? Can't we stay somewhere pretty? Oh, just for once, Father. Must we always go to nasty little towns, nasty, grimy little towns, to do our work?
Our work, daughter?
Forgive me, Father. God's work.
Get up!
We present John Abernethy, Madeline Smith, and David Buck in The Resurrectionist, a play for radio by David Buck. The story is set in Towsham, a small town on the Somerset-Dorset border. The year is 1860. The Resurrectionist.
Rough night, sir. You've come far?
From Brittany.
Oh, Brittany. Aye.
You know the place?
I've been there once. Long time ago, that was. Not much call for us here to cross the river to visit such a place. Nor for your instruction there.
No?
Now, here in Towsham, there's many things of interest. Much to take the stranger's eye. Come next spring, there'll be a setting down and taking up place of the new railway. Our church, too, over the way, local stone. Thought to be very fine by them as knows about such things. Pastor here, Mr. Timpson, and always show you round. Not so long ago, my father's time, Towsham was no more than a village. Just a cottage or two, a church, and an alehouse. But now, well, CVSL, the roads is fresh made up and will last a lifetime. Always says it myself, sir. The goat is likely the finest inn for 20, maybe more miles. You'll be staying the night, sir?
No.
That's a pity. You're not interested by any chance in strange and curious formations of rocks and stones. There's a most...
I may not stay. I must be moving on. I have urgent business elsewhere.
Oh, business? Yeah. Hmm? Oh, by your leave, sir. My wife, I think she wants to... by your leave. Well?
Who is it?
I don't know.
Well, you talked with him long enough. What about?
Nothing. This and that.
Seen the color of his money?
What?
I tell you, I don't like the look of him.
Oh, come, what?
He smells of the barn. He smells of the hedgerow.
Him? He's well spoken enough.
I wonder he can speak at all. There's that much of our ale inside him.
He's a gentleman, sure.
Too nice a gentleman to pay for his drink, perhaps. Too gentlemanly. He rides like a gentleman, that's certain.
Eh?
Jackie said his mare had been ridden after death.
He did?
See for yourself, in the stables. Now, for what cause, I ask you, should an honest man ride like that on such a night, eh?
Well, I...
What's he running from?
He's a gentleman, I'm sure. I'll not offend by asking.
Well, I will, then.
I'm not a...
Good evening to you, sir.
Thank you, my good woman. And to you.
Oh, it could scarce be worse than 'tis, I'm thinking.
True.
Young Jackie, him as a stable your mare.
Yes?
Said you'd ridden hard from... Ooh, where was it now?
Brittany, didn't you say?
Brittany, aye.
Well, you'll have crossed the river at Anmore, then, by the new iron bridge there.
No.
No?
How did you cross the river? You must have crossed it somehow. You flew over it, perhaps.
I forded it.
Forded?
Yes, it tore.
With rain like this? And the river swollen? You must have been in a powerful hurry.
I was.
Somebody after you, then?
Aye.
What did I tell you?
You're not... you haven't...
I've broken a law, never fear. Nor ever shall not. Fill the pot again, if you please, landlord. And for yourself, if you wish. And your good lady.
Oh.
Here. Yeah.
Well, you weren't the gentleman.
Who's like stone there? Those buildings? Is that the town?
It is.
It looks no different to the others.
It is no different. That is why it was chosen.
Sam chose it, Father, did he? Like a doll's town. Little inn, little church, little graveyard. It's dark. Is that a graveyard there? Father?
It is.
May I go there tomorrow?
You may. You must.
Can we go now? It's cold. Father, it's cold. May we go now? I'm wet.
Wait. The clock will tell us when.
Family matter, is it? Woman trouble?
What?
Not meaning to pry, only I thought it might be woman trouble.
Lit. What?
Your trouble.
Yeah. In a way, yes. Yeah. Woman trouble. You might say that.
Your wife, is it?
Most perspicacious of you, landlord. Indeed, my wife.
She's after you.
Yes.
Well, they're like that, aren't they, women, sir? Loath to let us go when we stray?
Yes, very loath.
Why is that, do you think, sir, in your case, sir?
Because perhaps she loves me still.
Excuse me, Smiley, sir. But I've lived a foolish life, though you may not think it to look at me. I've known many women. And the conclusion I've come to is this. Oh, you'd like to hear it, sir. My conclusion?
Go on.
What we men think to be loving them, as in your case, as oft as not, tis pride.
Think you so?
I know it, sir. 9 times out of 10.
My case is different.
There again, that's what we all say. Our case is different. But mark my words. It's pride as leads them on. All of them, I say. Why should your case be different?
Because these 2 years, my wife has been dead.
Dead, sir? I don't understand.
And no more do I. I can only tell you what these eyes have witnessed. There's no explanation, no reason. But a thing has happened. It happened to me.
Your wife, you mean?
Landlord?
One moment, sir. She came back from the grave?
My wife? Aye. Not only mine.
Other men's wives, too, you mean?
Other men's wives, other wives, husbands, fathers, mothers, brothers, friends.
What? You mean the judgment has begun?
No, I think not that. I cannot think that. The day of wrath shall be, what, a cleansing. That is what is promised, is it not? It can have little to do with the putrefaction of which I speak.
Where was this, you say?
In Brittany, where I lived.
The graves opened. You say, sir, the dead came forth.
Well, like they had been in life.
God, no. No. Would that they had.
You mean the hand of death was still upon them?
Yes. Oh. And yet, they walked.
And spoke, too?
Yes.
Of what?
Of terrible things.
Of the mysteries of the grave?
No. Worse, much worse. They spoke of life. How gladly they embraced it once more. Of their homes, how they longed to see them. Their lovers, their husbands. Of the marriage bed.
But what brought this about? Was there a voice? Lightning? Thunder? A sign of any sort?
No. Just a man. A man dressed in black, like a parson. Stanton, they called him. A tall hat he had on, like a picture of an old Puritan. And the young girl with him, his daughter, she were like a little Puritan maid. He came one night, from nowhere, it seemed to us then, in a black carriage drawn by two black horses. On each of the horses' heads was a topknot of black feathers, and black hangings swept to the ground on either side as they went.
And he called to him, the dead?
No, not at once. Did I hear something?
Nothing, nothing. Go on.
What was I saying? Where did he come from? Well, we found out later. From another town, 10 miles west of us. And before that, another, and another, and yet another. And at each town, the same. At each town. What was that?
Osmond, there's the most strange... Why? What in God's name? What's the matter? What's the matter with him?
He'll be better directly. What is it?
But there's a carriage here in the yard. You best make sure there's a room ready and warm in case he's wanted.
A carriage, you say?
Certainly a carriage. What? Isn't that what I said? A fine one, too.
A black carriage?
A fine black one, then. Only make haste. I bet he'll fetch a warming pan. It's a bitter night.
Let me see it.
Oh, my God, no. God, no. Let him not come in here. Christ, no.
No. Wait.
Peace be with you. And with you, sir.
Thank God, it's him. Don't you see, it's him.
It's him!
Quiet, man.
Come, child.
God, help me. Let him not come near.
Quiet.
Did one speak? Did someone speak the name of God?
No, sir. Leastways, no offense if one did, sir. They're simple folk here, sir. No harm in them.
He, father. Pale man over yonder.
You'll be wanting refreshment, sir.
Something for the child merely at present, landlord.
Have her come through into the parlor, then, sir. My wife shall wait on her.
Alice.
Have you seen that man afore, father? He was a way face.
This way, if you please, sir.
Wait. This man, daughter?
I?
Don't let him come near. Do you hear? Don't let him come near me.
Has he been here before, landlord?
Not above an hour, sir.
What's the matter with him, father? He seems terrible sick.
Hush, child. The man is known to you?
No, sir. Never clapped eyes on him before today. Tonight. Never. He's a stranger, isn't that so?
Yes. What did Brittany, father, where we was?
Aye, he said he come from there, from Brittany.
Keep away, I tell you.
Yes, I know him, of course. His name is Apps, I believe, and unfortunate, his brain is touched.
What did I tell you?
Has he been raving before this?
He's been talking a great deal of nonsense.
Indeed, yeah. Tell me exactly what has he been saying.
Osmond?
Well, he said he thought...
Yes?
He seemed to think, sir, that you... Well, it's no great matter what he thinks, one way or t'other, poor soul.
Mr. Apps... Look at me.
At my face.
Can't you see what he's doing? Close it.
At my face, my eyes.
Don't sleep, don't sleep.
My eyes, I say. Excellent. Now, Mr. Apps, we shall pray together, you and I. On your knees. Your knees, sir. Clasp your hands so. Lord, let not this poor man be further troubled in his soul, except in so much as it pleaseth thee. If it be thy will, let his spirit be made free of all torment. And his tongue...
You blaspheme, Stanton!
His tongue...
You blaspheme the very mention of God's name!
His tongue be come rot. Free of all slander and calumny against thy servants. Made free by whatsoever means pleaseth thee. For Jesus' sake, our Lord. Amen. Say amen. Apps. Amen, man, say it.
Great God.
Oh,
Lord, thou hast taken a terrible revenge upon the calumniator of thy servant. May thy servant always be worthy the protection of thy dreadful arm. He came a horseback, this man?
Aye, sir. His mare's in stables.
Then depart so. Have him put upon her. Send him from here. His presence is an abomination.
But...
Yes?
We can't just put him out,
sir. The man is accursed of God, landlord.
Husband.
Aye, that's certain. William, Joshua, wait. Help me here.
I
take him under the arm.
But...
Gently with them, poor sinner.
I'll call Jackie for the mare. A hurry there. How they all stare, Father.
Never mind them, child. A little while and they'll all learn to stare in earnest. You have a parlor, say you?
Aye, sir.
Take us there.
Certainly, sir. This way, sir. I've not seen nothing like that afore, sir.
Set your teeth, landlord. The greater wonders are to come. This last was nothing, a trick. The pickings from God's fingernail. Soon you will see what the strength of his full right arm may enact.
They've put him on his mare. Sent him packing.
That's well.
Not another farthing on him. There's ale for Joshua and for William the Old, as well as for himself.
It will be paid.
Beg pardon, sir?
You shall not lose by this. You have my word.
Oh, you're most kind, sir.
I shall pray that God will interest himself in any loss you have suffered.
Thank you, sir.
Better still.
Sir?
My daughter Alice here shall pray. The prayers of innocence are precious in the sight of God. Will you do this, child?
Oh, may I, Father?
It is her only delight to speak to God. That... and to tend to her poor father. Is it not so, child?
Can you doubt it, Father?
Oh.
Have a single room made up for us. Alice is most comfortable in a truckle bed. You have such a thing?
We have, sir.
Good. Have it placed at the foot of mine.
I'll see to it myself directly. Alan!
You'll be staying this one night, sir.
Oh, by no means longer. A week at very least. I have work to do here.
Work, sir?
Yes, work. The word startles you?
Oh, no, sir. But you look to be a clerical gentleman, and...
And God in his bounty has already provided you with one of the cloth, eh?
Beg pardon, sir?
You have a parson already.
Yes, sir. Exactly, sir. Mr. Timpson, sir. Very fine gentleman, sir.
Do not fear for him, landlord. None shall be dispossessed by my presence here. Ah, you are tired, child. Have I taken upstairs to bed?
Directly, sir.
Say your prayers, child. And remember what I said.
Yes, Father. Your chamber's ready, sir. The big bed is made up and warmed, and Ellen is preparing the truckle now, sir, for the little maid.
Then show her upstairs now, will you, my good woman? I shall follow in a moment.
Of course, sir. Come, my dear. This way.
There's a little hot punch, if you should choose, sir, for a nightcap.
Thank you, landlord, no.
Oh, beg pardon, sir. The mention of it does not offend you. There'll be some of the cloth, I'm told, who are lately taking again strong liquor. You not be one of them, sir.
Christ himself partook of the fermented grape. I see no reason why men should not emulate the Son of God in this, as in other ways.
But not to excess. See, sir? I always say, sir, it's...
Once Mrs. Treadwell has seen Alice to bed, I will retire too.
Beg pardon, sir?
Once your wife has seen Alice, my child, to bed...
My wife, sir?
Your wife, man, your wife.
Only...
Well?
You called her Mrs. Treadwell.
Yes?
Her name is Tench, sir.
Tench Treadwell? What difference does it make?
None, sir. No difference. Only their name was Treadwell. The last focus kept the goat.
The goat?
This house, sir.
Oh.
Wonder how you could have given us their name like that, sir. You being a stranger here.
They kept this house before you, say you? Oh, perhaps I've met him somewhere since, upon my travels.
No, sir, that's not very likely. They're dead, sir. Drowned these 10 years, both together, man and wife, down by the rear, in the river, not a half a mile away. It were a sad blow to many of us. Popular man he was, Ted Treadwell.
And you lived here then, in this town?
Why, bless you, yes, sir. Though it were more a village then, I were a cooper, sir, making barrels and the like.
A good honest trade.
This too, sir. This here is an honest trade.
Oh, I have no doubt of it. But if the Treadwells should return here, you'd go back to your old calling, then?
Beg pardon, sir?
You would resume your former trade as cooper.
She's upstairs, sir. The little lass saying her prayers.
Oh, don't set the candle down, if you please. I, too, shall retire early. I've driven hard today and shall be driven hard in God's harness tomorrow. Have some refreshment brought up at 5. Some ale, bread and cheese, some cool water and some fruit for the child.
As you please, sir.
Will you see me upstairs, woman?
Oh, yes, this way, sir.
Ted Treadwell return?
He gone?
He's away upstairs. Aye, come you in.
And he's staying, then?
Yes.
Yeah, but what that man, that stranger, said?
Aye.
What he said happened in Brittany? Now, what if that was true?
We've got nothing to fear.
Nothing to fear? You mad?
I won't talk of it. Did you not see what happened to the man who crossed him, left without a tongue in his head? Cast out like Cain upon the road.
I saw.
Not have him crossed in my house. His power's greater than most men. He has the ear of God for certain. Do you not mind the story of the Christ child at the inn? Lando there turn him away in ignorance. But sure, that ignorance don't protect him from a present roasting in hellfire.
What are you doing here, William Lamb? This is the parlor for our guests. Tap rooms for the likes of you.
Well, I was
going to say, off with you now.
They settled in?
Aye.
What's the matter?
And what do you think's the matter? Haven't we got worries enough without the likes of him? And talk of dead folks dancing in the streets like they did in olden times, eh?
We've nothing to fear.
Well, what's he want with us? A town like ours? We're not your gaping, fearful village folk. We've moved along with the times. Why does he want to bring us down?
He's a holy man, wife. He mustn't be questioned. It's only the guilty has to fear from the likes of him. The innocent are precious to God, he said. We'll come to no harm.
He said? When?
A while ago, to the maid, the little girl.
There's something amiss. I know it. Little girl, you call her.
What?
She was in her shift just now, a-kneeling and a-saying of her prayers.
There, now.
Her shift was loose at the neck. When she bowed her head, it fell open. That's no child, husband. The girl's got a woman's body on her.
Nonsense, wife.
I saw, I tell you.
Then forget what you saw. Go by what they say they are, such as it is. Do you want to put yourself in peril? Do you not value your 5 senses?
Oh, I value them enough. I'll put one to risk, though.
Where are you going?
To put my ear to the door.
Meg!
It's our right.
No, wait.
Well?
I don't think it's...
What?
Look. I'll go see Parson in the morning, if you like. We'll see what he says.
Oh, you old bear spell news, then. You think Parson will not know by now, with Cass and Joshua and all in the trap when the stranger was struck? Old town will know by now.
I'll not have it said. I spied...
Well, who's to say it? Oh, no.
Wait. Wait. I'll come with you.
Well, bring the candle, then. Because he'll see the light under the door, you fool. That's why. And he's not fly enough.
Oh, it's dark.
Shh. They're talking. Now, come on. Now, mind the chest.
What was it?
Nothing more said is now.
What now?
That's no more. Lay still.
Leroy's ink. Need to put you up.
What are they saying?
I can't hear. Well, I can't understand. It's foreign talk.
Foreign? Here, come away. Let me listen. Foreign, did you say? To your ears, perhaps. They're praying. That's what they're doing. Praying.
Protect us, we pray, throughout the coming night.
Ellen! Ellen! Where's that girl?
She taken what was asked after Mr. Stanton.
There you are at last.
So that's the girl taking up the breakfast.
Born 2 hours ago while you were sleeping.
Oh, what's the time, wife?
There's a church clock over yonder. See for yourself.
Oh.
more last night, did we? Before we came to bed?
Three.
You stank like a still, you pig. I told you we'd bring nothing but trouble. But would you listen?
What do you expect me to do?
Well, at least keep sober, so that you're in the way of thought. So come on now. There's much to be done.
I'd best go see him, Mr. Stantz, and make sure he's comfortable.
No, you'll not be welcome. Parson's with him.
Parson? Already?
I told you, didn't I?
There really is no need to justify your visit at such length, Parson. Do you think I'm not aware how swiftly news may travel in a town like this?
There has been talk, certainly.
Oh, talk, yes, there was bound to be. Such events do not go unreported.
Quite so, quite so, but you...
Gossip is another matter.
Exactly. Exactly so, Mr. Stanton.
There has been gossip, then?
I fear me, yes. Gossip, to put it mildly.
Calumnies about me? Lies?
Lies? Well, yes, I could scarcely credit what was said.
Ah. They brought the man to you?
Man?
The stranger, the blasphemer.
Yes, straightway. They, that is, the men with him, they thought it was a matter for the pastor rather than the physician.
Mm. And you prayed with him?
I prayed, yes. The man himself was incapable of prayer.
Quite so. And you could effect nothing?
In the way of a cure, no. Unfortunately, no. Oh,
unfortunately? Unfortunately, did you say? Instruct me, Parson, if you please. Is it some part of your brief to attempt to reverse the will of God?
One must do what one can. If one assumes the divine mind to be unchangeable, one negates the power of prayer.
Prayer is most powerful. It establishes the gulf between man and his maker. It assures the Godhead of his omnipotence.
Well, Mr. Stanton, I have much enjoyed our conversation. It has been most stimulating. Now, if you will forgive me...
Parson, you came to me with tales of gossip in the town. Calumnies, I think you said. Have you forgotten?
No, not forgotten, but... Perhaps such things, upon reflection, are best ignored.
Condoned, would you say?
No, never, not at all. But,
well?
You do not know this town, I think, Tarsham.
No, I do not.
Yet you will have seen a part of it in every town and city round about.
Your enigma.
Tarsham stone. All growing communities need stone. Ours builds the halls, the exchanges, and the stations for our neighbors and beyond. But the place itself, Tarsham itself... You came by daylight, sir?
No, it was dark.
Outside the town, to the west, there is a circle of great stones. No one knows how long they have stood there or why. But they have so far withstood all attempts to burn or destroy them.
Please, make your point, sir.
Tarsham folk are plain people, simple people. There's little harm in them, but there is an ancient tradition of superstition among them. Some of these beliefs linger.
They must be weaned from them.
Indeed, indeed, but I believe gently.
Else they will feel they merely exchange one superstition for another. Perhaps. But why do you tell me this? You are concerned with the events of last night? The fact of the man's dumbness is not in dispute, surely.
No, no, not at all.
Or was there something else?
Nothing, no.
Some other tale the men brought you?
I don't remember.
Having witnessed one prodigy, they hunger for a second and a third.
Oh, human nature, Mr. Stanton, the frailty...
There have been stories, then. Concerning me...
was, as you say, inevitable.
Tell me!
In all conscience, I do not...
Or shall I tell you? The story that I and Brittany across the river and in other places further afield had made the dead rise up and dance in the streets? Is that the tale?
Yes.
I see.
Mr. Stanton, as I was saying, the people of Tarsham are simple folk, superstitious folk. It is one of the many...
Perhaps you would send a man into Brittany upon some pretext, if you wish, and have him determine whether the story be true or false.
Oh, come now, sir, I must not appear to take this matter too seriously.
No, pardon me, Parson, but I must. These things are said of me, remember. I may not have my credence called to question by public gossip. There will be no living in this place.
I am sure that if I make it known that I have spoken to you and that I am satisfied that there is no truth in the story, that these rumors...
By your leave, Parson, I think you misunderstand me.
Misunderstand you? How?
I have no intention of denying the story.
Ah. I appreciate that you might not wish to demean yourself by such an action.
I am not able to deny the story. The story is true.
I beg your pardon.
The story is true.
I believe I do misunderstand you, Mr. Stanton.
I hope you do not, Parson. What I mean to say is this. I did indeed raise up certain of the Brittany dead, and though it is somewhat of an exaggeration to say that they actually danced, they most certainly walked.
They came from their graves?
Their graves, their tombs, from under flagstones in the church, from wherever they had been put.
And lived?
After a fashion.
And then returned?
Returned? By no means. This was no trick, nor no mere conjuration. No hiccup in the natural scheme of things. The dead cease to be dead.
And live still?
Most certainly.
Excuse me, may I sit down? The air in here...
Most oppressive. Allow me to open a window.
And I may, you say, confirm this by sending into Brittany.
You may indeed. In the circumstances, I insist that you do so.
Circumstances?
I am not come to Towsham for the good of my health, Parson. I am come to raise up the Towsham dead.
Yes.
In that very churchyard, Parson.
Ah, see, there is Alice playing among the gravestones in her white dress. With the dappling of the sunlight among the dark yews, it makes a pretty picture, does it not?
Yes, yes, most charming. But
my only child, sir, and my only delight. See, she is waving to us. If you will pardon me, I will beckon her up again. She is not strong, and I fear for her health, playing in the damp grass.
Come up again, my precious. The reverend gentleman is just going. But I anticipate you. Forgive me, please. Please stay as long as you wish.
No. I must be on my way. I have much to think about, much to consider.
Of course. To exercise one's mind in such a case may be most beneficial. One may achieve great purity of thought. When one is powerless to influence events, impotence, they say, unclouds the mind.
Is there no way?
None. The dead are clamoring, Parson. Hark. Do not start. It is only their friend.
Their friend?
Alice. Death loves the innocent, and she loves the dead more than the living.
See you so.
Alice, I was just telling our reverend friend here of your love for the dead.
Yes, Father?
They are her only playmates.
you pretend... You talk to them through the clay?
I talk with them, yes, sir.
Aha. But do they answer you?
Once these raised up, they do. They'll talk to anyone. There's one there in churchyard. Has such a lovely name. John Balderstone. And just my age.
Well?
Can I have him for my playmate, Father?
We'll see, my precious. We'll put it to God, eh? You've been a good little handmaid to him. I can't think he'll refuse you.
The Boulderstone boy, but he's been dead 6 years or more.
He'll keep his age as he was at death. Only the action of the earth will have changed him.
Sir?
Parson?
I must go. Good day to you, sir. And to you too, my child. Good day.
Good day to you, Parson.
Pee in your britches, sir.
I beg your pardon.
Please be with you, sir.
Yes. Yes, and with you.
In a pinch. Ouch! There's no call to have done that! That hurts! I done nothing! What do you want to hurt me for,
You're
eh?
Slow to learn.
You lie! Slow?
Slow
me?
Slow to understand that this is not a game.
Ain't it, though?
No.
Ow!
A game. How can I make you remember that?
You can't. You're not man enough, you. Raise the dead. You couldn't even raise...
Damn you!
you all shall hear of this. You may be sure.
Sam?
He'll be back soon. You want him to know of your lapse? You want him to... Not man enough. Come here.
Why did you take your coat off, Father? You're warm. I'm not. I'm cold. Warmer still, you find it, Father. Yeah. Come warm me. Come warm your little girl. Father.
There can be no doubt of this.
No doubt whatsoever, I fear, Mr. Mayor.
The man you said...
Arthur Matchett, churchwarden. Known to all of us, I think. A man of the highest integrity.
He made inquiries.
Discreet inquiries at my bidding, yes.
Well, get on with it, man.
At first, he met with no success. That was only to be expected. One must assume that Brittany has no great wish for this matter to be explored in any detail.
But town gossip, sure.
No, apparently not, Mr. Terveri. Common folk showed no inclination to discuss the matter on any terms.
They'd never heard of this man Stanton.
They'd seen his bills only, they said.
His bills?
Yes, Mr. Nedworth, it seems that Stanton advertised his intentions some time before the event. He posted notices, distributed handbills and the like.
The man's a charlatan. He should be whipped from the town.
Oh, those were the days, eh, Harkness?
Charlatan? Gentlemen, I tell you, I pray very sincerely that he may be so.
An unusual request. To make of God, surely.
And perhaps, as Mr. Harkness suggests, he could be sent upon his way.
Allow me to make one thing clear. That the man Stanton has so far acted with the greatest decency and decorum.
Decency?
It was his own idea, moreover, that we should send into Brittany to confirm his story.
Mm. And it was confirmed, eventually, you say?
Yes. Matchett, on my authority, had interviews with the mayor, the physician, and indeed my own counterpart in the town.
The Worthies, one might say.
Just such a group as we.
They all confirmed the story?
Each one, yes.
That the spirits of these people returned and walked abroad?
No, not their spirits, schoolmaster. The people themselves, corporeal from the grave.
The evidence of these Worthies, was it hearsay only?
No.
They witnessed it, this resurrection?
All but the parson. He was ill, it seems, at the time.
Oh, well, we cannot blame him. What wish would a parson have to see his work undone? Mm.
Doctor was there, though.
Your man, Matchett, did he have speech with any of the...
The dead, those that had been dead. No, he did not. Not so far as he was aware.
What?
We must remember that those who had been dead for a matter of weeks only, or months even, would show but little change. They might easily mingle with the natural living and not be noticed.
But the others?
Yes, the others. They may not wish to be seen. They would, I assume, keep within door.
These bills the man posted...
Mr. Nedworth?
Did he make any claim upon them which he did not fulfill?
Evidently not. They merely stated that at such a time and at such a place, the church out of Brittany, there would be a demonstration, I think that was the word, of Mr. Amos or Andrew Stanton's powers or gifts of resurrection.
Gifts, indeed.
No mention of money.
I beg your pardon?
He wanted no fee for his services.
No.
He proposed no collection or anything of the sort?
No, sir, none.
Now, I think you mistake his purposes. At no time here or in Brittany has he mentioned the matter, the possibility even, of personal gain. The style in which he lives appears to be modest, even frugal.
Where is he lodged?
At the inn, the Goat, with his young daughter. Tench, the landlord, says they have kept their room these past 3 days.
Not ventured out at all?
No, no, they have their food sent up to them. Tench believes that they spend most of the day in prayer.
What? What is it?
Nothing. How long will we be here? Will we stay in this room, in this inn, in this town forever?
No. Not much longer.
Where do we go then? Somewhere nice?
All right, don't answer.
When will Sam be here? Soon?
Quite soon, yes.
Good. I like Sam. Do you hear? I said, I like Sam. He makes me laugh. You never make me laugh, you. I like to laugh. That's what I'd like to do most. Laugh. And wear nice, bright colored dresses. And put paint on my face. And have folks pay to come and see me. Just to walk up and down so. Wasn't he, Sam?
Yes.
Good actor, was he? Did he make folks laugh, Father?
I'm sure he did. I mind the time he pretended he was blind for us. Do you remember, Father? He was so funny, I thought I should die. And the other time, he was a washerwoman. That was funny, too. He let his basket fall and held his sides and groaned and moaned. And the young gentleman came up. Helped him. Called him my good woman. Sam got his pocket watch and 5 gold sovereigns. All in a second.
Learn from him. It's not play what we do. Sam knows that and acts upon it. None of this is play. When it becomes a game, it will be finished. We will be finished.
If this man be charlatan, he'll be found out soon enough. Found out and punished. Yes. But for the moment, though, gentlemen, I think we are forced to proceed according to the evidence before us. That he has some power over the departed to wake him so.
Well, then, what next?
There's a question I'd like to put to Lawyer Nedworth.
What is then?
Well, say the man Stanton were to raise, among the rest, a father. And say that father had, upon his death, left a considerable fortune to his son.
This has been known to happen on occasion.
Yes. Go on. Well, who would then have claim to that fortune, father or son?
In law.
Well, of course, in law.
The father...
What?
Being technically dead, presumably registered as such, would, I believe, have no claim. In law.
No claim, are you sure?
Laws are made by the living for the benefit of the living. However...
Hypothetically, the laws of nature being once broke...
As you say, Schoolmaster.
Damn hypothesis, has my father, should he be raised, claim to my inheritance, to the quarries, to the land, yes or no?
I say again, none in law, but...
But what?
There is no telling... The dead, being outside the protection of the law, may consider themselves to be outside the law altogether.
Simply take what they consider theirs.
Exactly. Who could prevent them?
What if a man's father and grandfather be raised, and his grandfather's father and his father?
Gentlemen, order, please.
I have a question. I have a question concerns me, Mr. Medworth.
Schoolmaster?
Well?
What are the rights of wedlock?
The rights of...
What if a man has lost a wife and married again? What if his first wife returns? Well, who has the right to his bed?
Parson?
In heaven, we are told, there will be no marriage nor giving in marriage. Marriage is for the benefit of the flesh. The spirits have no use for such pastimes.
But those raised up are flesh and blood, parson. You said so yourself.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, we must assume that in the event of a wife turning to her husband from the grave,
what else shall happen? Both of them?
No.
Neither of them? Must I put my pal, my present wife, from me?
No.
What then?
We must put our trust in God. We must pray that such a choice may not be necessary.
Pray while you may, Pastor. Pray while you still have a flock.
I beg your pardon?
The flock, I thought, was like to be increased. How if Parson Skelp be raised?
Skelp?
Your venerable predecessor, Parson. Who will have the living man?
The living or the dead?
This is no subject for jest, Doctor.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
This matter touches us all.
You more than most, I'm thinking.
Explain yourself, sir.
A slip of the tongue. I said nothing. Pray, continue.
I more than most, you said.
I said that.
Did he not, gentlemen? Pray tell us, Doctor, what you meant by that.
Well, if I must, I must. I call to mind the decease of your one-time partner, the lawyer Hardcastle.
Well, sir?
He left you the whole practice, did he not?
Indeed he did. He was a father to me. But we've debated such matters out, have we not, gentlemen? The dead have no claim in law.
Oh, it's not your living, lawyer, I believe at risk. Not your living, but your life.
My life, sir.
Oh, he died, did he not? In agony and delirious.
He died?
My question was rhetorical. After all, as his doctor, I was myself among those present. Death is no stranger to me. Nor is the fact that many men in the shadow of the grave will get strange fancies and give voice to them.
There is no truth.
Hardcastle's was a strange conceit. His fevered mind chose to believe that his partner, his beloved young partner, who had been a son to him, had fed him poison.
It was not true. He ate bad meat. You yourself...
Mr. Pardon me, I do not see what can be gained.
Oh, gentlemen, you mistake me. Not one of us present at the bed believed the story. How could we of our honored colleague? Besides, the man was raving.
Exactly so.
Now,
but he believed it. Hardcastle, at his death, believed it.
Yes, but as you say...
Well, will death have disabused him? Does the grave afford us divine knowledge to tell lies from truth? Or do you, like me, believe that the lawyer Hardcastle is like to rise up from the grave with black vengeance in his soul?
Since we are speaking freely...
Mr. Nedworth.
Perhaps I may touch upon a subject equally delicate.
Proceed, sir.
The dangers of stone quarrying, our chiefest industry, have always ensured us of a melancholy proportion of widows amongst our local population. Mm-hmm. Some of these worthy women have been bereaved, alas, at a very early age. Some are still comely. Most are apparently in perfect health.
Apparently, yes, sir?
To the layman's eye, they seem blessed with an abundance of youth and vigor. But such is not the case. Some terrible disease afflicts them.
Say you so?
Why else? To the neglect of others. Should the doctor here spend so large a portion of his time in ministering to them? I am forced to believe it.
Lawyer, take care. You are before witnesses.
Lawyer, I think it's...
Doctor, what will they believe, I wonder? Those husbands risen, crushed and bleeding from the grave. How do you propose to disabuse them, Doctor?
I'll not endure this.
No more.
This matter will be quite a parson.
In the name of God, gentlemen, let us not lose our good sense. We should be needing an abundance of it, I'm thinking, in the time ensuing.
Time? Aye. How much time is there?
do we know?
Hush. Petzano et Riatz. Yes.
The gentleman to see you, sir.
Did he give you his name?
Oh, no, sir. Just said he was expecting him, sir.
Hush, girl. What manner of man?
Portly gentleman, sir. A great red-bearded gentleman.
Red-bearded?
Hush. Send him up. And landlord.
Sir?
Any further visitors, and I expect several, show them straight up without ceremony.
Very well, sir. Here is the gentleman, sir.
Mr. Stanton, sir. Your very humble servant. Miss Alice, ma'am. Pleasure to renew your acquaintance.
Oh, Sam!
Yes, didn't you think, Reverend?
Slay, dear.
Sam, will it all be done soon? I hope it will. I hate this place.
There's a famous place I have for you next along the way. Might have been made for us.
With a churchyard? With a pretty churchyard, Sam.
Three of them, lass.
Three?
And each one begging to be made empty.
Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you're back. I haven't laughed at all. Not since you left.
Wife won't like it. She's a powerful, jealous woman. She would like another one to come and take her place.
Which one? Which one won't like it?
Perhaps.
Yes.
Perhaps you are worrying unduly.
My wife, rest her soul, was the most demanding woman. God rest her soul. Most demanding. And I can't think a spell in the grave will have changed her for the better.
Yes, I remember. Dear Mrs. Benskin, a very positive woman.
Yes.
Perhaps God, in his great mercy, will spare her a further walk through this vale of tears.
But she'll want to come back, Mr. Timpson. I'm sure of that. She were most unwilling to go.
Your health, Jack. Oh, forgive me. Not Jack. Who then? Will? Thomas? Nick? Adam? Amos? Amos. Your good health, then, Amos. Yours too, lass. Health to the living and the dead. The dead, especially.
Alice finds you quite a comedian, Samuel. She was telling me, weren't you, child?
Oh, yes, indeed.
How much she admired your various performances.
Yes? Oh, that's very kind of the young lady.
Even your most tragical roles are, it seems, to Alice here, a never-ending source of laughter and delight.
Laughter, eh? Well, laughter's better than tears, they say.
Parson? Parson Timpson?
Who is it?
Wait.
Oh, Mr. Harkness. I thought you would have come in your carriage.
I did, but I prefer to walk back. It was stuffy at the mayor's. I need to clear my head.
Was, I fear, a shameful spectacle.
What did you expect? Men will turn on each other in such circumstances. Like trapped animals, they will devour each other.
It's better, surely, to debate like reason.
Debate? To what end? The man Stanton can do the things he claims. You admit that?
I believe the proofs to be conclusive.
Then there is no use for debate. For talk.
You propose some action?
What would you propose? Indeed, what did you propose? Prayer, as I remember.
Would you ask the carpenter to set aside his plane, or the bootmaker his all?
Parson, it is some years since I attended a sermon. The last was in Skelt's time. I found his rhetoric an irritation to my senses. Yours, too.
Prayer is my tool. I was trained in its use. I can use no other.
And mine. My five wits and a quarryman's pick.
I hope I misunderstand you, sir.
Perhaps. Perhaps not. Besides, it's not necessary we become comrades, only allies. There's a blackness in Stanton that makes all else white.
You wish for my support?
Skelp went to my father when he wanted the old stone circle toppled. We do still have a use for each other.
By prayer?
Yes, if that's what you do best.
You believe in prayer?
Do not you.
I must be circumspect. There's many in hell this moment who believe they acted for the best.
And side by side with them are those that wash their hands. I walk this way, Parson. Good night to you.
Oh, God. Why do you give the confidence of faith to such men? And not to me?
Well, you still with him? Red-bearded fella?
Aye. They just sent down for more wine. Is he one of them, do you think? Red-bearded fellow?
One of who?
One of the dead woman. One of the dead from Bredney. They say dead men do roam freely there.
Why should he be one of them?
I don't know. There's something strange about him.
Him? He's no dead man. There's a stink of the barn on him.
You've sent the barn on every stranger, you.
Rightly. What they talk about up there?
Gibber, mainly. Foreign talk, or perhaps the dead have a different language to the living.
What are you talking about?
Well, they'd have to, wouldn't they? Stand to reason, there being folks of so many nations' tongues among them.
Mad? Oh. Evening to you, missus.
What do you want?
Well, I ain't meaning to disturb you. There's a matter that needs your assistance.
What sort of matter?
Oh, reading matter, if you please, missus.
Read? What?
Oh, listen. This note is here. All over town they are.
Here.
Can you read it, missus? I couldn't. Well, not more than half of it, that is. Some largest words there, no mistake. You can read it?
What is it, wife?
What's the same, missus?
Go back to the tap, William. I'll bring it back out there and read it for you in a minute.
Oh, but I...
off with you now.
Right you are, missus.
What is it, Mag?
Here, read.
That's it, then. As in Brittany, so here.
3 days' time, a Friday.
You'll read it to him, this?
Oh, heaven, I don't. Others will. Not reading it won't stop him.
Oh, wife, do you think he'll raise them? Ted Treadwell and Sarah? They has kept this house for 4 weeks.
How should I know?
Well, if he does, they'll...
Shut up, can't you? I'm trying to think.
Well, I'd best take this wine up for him.
Wait. What wine? Show me. Oh, will you always be a fool?
With what they had...
This wine for them?
They had it before.
Taproom wine from the cask for them? Look, to the cellar with you. I'll take them up the best.
But why?
Now do as I say and hurry. God preserve us. God preserve us all.
Waiting. How can you bear it?
There's profit in waiting. You drink too much too early, Samuel.
What else is there to do in a place like this?
You chose the place.
God pardon me. What did it do then?
On the contrary, it is perfect.
I don't like it. There's old black ways was practiced here.
A long, deep tradition of superstition. You did well. The place is perfect.
Aye. New-made fortunes and new-made graves.
A veritable honeypot.
Where's Alice?
Alice? Oh, there in the churchyard playing.
Playing? Aye. So she is. You tell her to do this? To make them afeard?
No, it's her own fancy.
To play there like a child? Her own fancy?
Yes.
An excellent one, then. Leastwise, she frightens me.
There is no need of devices, not now. No need to make the people feared by tricks.
I don't understand.
Besides, what is there to fear? The dead will harm no one. We, the living, are their darlings. They long for our warm bodies beside them to rid them of their awful coldness.
Dositi.
Knithios. They long to exchange the dank earth for the pure air, their hard, unyielding boxes, for the old comforts of their homes. The dead are enamored of the living, Samuel. What is there to fear in that?
All the same, folks will be afeard. They were well frighted at Brittany, I remember. And didn't a man in, where was it, Mambury, didn't he drop dead when first the earth began to move? When the first grinning man struggled up from his pit, didn't he?
Men will fear, it is true, but it is foolish.
Foolish?
To fear the inevitable. Oh, yes. Yes?
Mr. Stanton, sir.
Well?
Schoolmaster to see you. Mr. Turvey, sir.
Turvey. It begins.
Aye.
Did I not tell you to send all visitors straight up here to me?
Yes, sir, you did, but begging your pardon, sir, I would much appreciate a word with you myself, sir.
Go on.
About the previous people here. You remember, we spoke of them, sir. Ned Treadwell, his wife.
Well?
I was wondering, sir, if he was on your list.
My list?
Of those to be resurrected, sir, brought back.
You hear that, Sam? My list? I am no chapman, sir. I keep no lists, no schedules. The work I do is God's. If, however, you have a particular wish to see him.
No, no, sir. You mistake me. It wasn't that. Not that at all. Quite the reverse, in fact.
Oh, you do not wish to see him raised, your friend?
Well, he weren't a friend, exactly, sir. More an acquaintance, if you follow me.
I think I do. Did he keep a good house here?
Not really, sir. Not what you might call a good house. No, sir. An ill house. A wretched house.
And yet, was he not popular? Wasn't he a jovial host?
He, sir? Popular? By no means, sir. A most ill-natured fellow he was.
Popular, I thought, was the word you used.
Oh, no, sir. You must be mistaken, sir.
I must. He failed, would you say, to make his guests comfortable?
Yes, indeed. Most miserably, sir.
Brought them bad food, bad wine?
So 'tis said, sir.
And at reckoning time, he would take more than was owed him?
When he could, sir.
I see. Well, landlord, I have no wish to see this place in dishonest hands.
Sir, that's very...
However, I shall need a taste of your mettle before I make the final choice. I have not yet found absolute satisfaction here myself.
Sir?
The quality of your wine is much improved, that I will concede. Not so your dinners, though. And you see the fire there. When was it last made up? And when did this table last suffer a dusting?
It's the girl, sir. Bone idle. I'll have it seen to right away, sir.
Do so. And what of the reckoning? How may I be assured that the reckoning will be honest?
Mrs. Tench and I, sir, would be most honored if you would consider yourself our guest, sir, in all things for as long as you care to stay. Yourself and the little mate, sir.
And my friend and colleague here, Mr. Samuels.
He too, sir. We should be honored.
You are most civil. I shall see what may or may not be done about the Treadwells. It may be that they shall be allowed to sleep on undisturbed.
Oh, I'm glad of it, sir. Most glad.
Nothing is promised, mind.
Here, surely you're not...
The decisions are mine, Samuel. They will not be put in question.
But I thought...
Mine alone. Now go.
Now look, Stanton.
Schoolmaster's on the stair. I will see him alone.
Oh, yes, sir. Very well, sir. Thank you, sir.
Swim trap we deus.
Alone, I said.
You're... Visitor. Now walk in, schoolmaster. He'll see you alone. The children have been sent outside to play.
Mr. Turvey.
Mr. Stanton.
Delighted to make your acquaintance, my dear sir. Please shut the door. Is there something I can do for you? Some way in which I may oblige you? You have only to ask.
At the ceiling, on the floor, glass in the windows, and in the night wall. It's 4 by 5 by 12. Oh, you.
I've been watching you.
What are you doing here? Why aren't you in
He sent me away, like you, to pass the time.
It's lovely here. I play for hours.
I know, I said. I've been watching you. He's become very jealous of his mystery, has Jack.
Father.
Your father, then. Aye. If that's what he wants you to call him.
He does at all times. He's powerful rough and angry if I don't.
Rough with you?
Aye. Look. Here.
He did that to you?
Aye.
Why stay you with him?
Why not? Most times it's different. But it's better with you here, Sam. I like it much better when you're with us. You make me laugh so.
Laugh, eh?
Oh, yes. Just to look at you makes me happy.
You like the red whiskers, do you?
I think they're lovely, Sam.
And what of the man struck dumb? Liked you him?
Oh, yes! Yes! Oh, do him again, Sam, please. When you tried to say amen and couldn't.
Lord, thou hast taken a terrible revenge upon this unfortunate sinner here. May thy arm always guide my aim, even when I make water. Lest perchance I splash my gaiters.
Go on, Sam. Go on. Just like him.
No.
Why?
It's not right for me to laugh at him.
I don't mind, Sam, really.
You'll tell him.
No, I won't, Sam. Honest, you can trust me.
Can I?
Of course you can. Go on.
No, not now. The mood is past. Perhaps later.
What's on your mind, Sam?
Nothing. No, you're right. There's many things. Look, can he do it, do you think? Raise him.
He's not had to yet.
I know. But can he, do you think?
Well, that'll be for Mr. Stanton.
Hargo.
Mr. Stanton, for more wine, will he drink our cellar dry? Oh, pardon, Lord. I give it willingly.
For Mr. Stanton, Doctor? Why? He's not sick, is he?
Just take me to him, Mrs. Tench, if you please. Oh,
shall I take your bath, Doctor? No? Well, follow me, then, if you please, Doctor. Oh, Mr. Turvey, sir. Just leave in?
Good day, schoolmaster. And to you, Dr. Smee.
This way, sir.
God. Oh, my God, what am I to do?
Matter, sir, lost your way. You don't care to pass to the tap room? Take this door here, then, sir. It will take you through the yard.
Graveyard, sir.
When do you go, Sam?
Day after tomorrow.
Thursday.
Thursday evening. Early.
But we'll see you soon. In the next town.
I won't be there.
Sam!
A friend of mine will be there, though. The name of Anne.
Oh, Sam!
You'll never leave him, then?
No, Sam. Don't fear for me, Sam.
I won't. I'll tell him.
No, please, Sam, say nothing.
Oh, very well. He knows, I think. If harm should come to you...
You're very kind, Sam, I thank you. He won't hurt me again, I'm sure.
It's not only him, though. This place. I've got a nose for places. We've seen enough, the three of us. There's evil here.
Evil?
A violence, I feel it. But promise me something. When I've gone, don't let him leave you alone anywhere. Not at any price. You promise? Make any excuse, but stay with him at all times.
Very well, Sam.
Swear it.
I swear.
Good. And now go in. He's had time enough to himself.
Aren't you coming too?
In a moment. Blessed are the innocent. And blessed are those who trust no one but themselves. For they shall never be disappointed.
Mr. Jenner!
Wanted to speak to me, sir?
Yes. Well, sit down, Mr. Jenner. Here. Fill your pipe.
Thank you kindly, sir.
Mr. Jenner, do you mind the time we took on those ragtag gypsies at their pitch behind Paul's Hill? They has robbed our houses, stole our chickens, molested our women.
Aye, sir.
Who came with us then? Cass? Thomas?
Aye, sir, and Joseph and young Jamie.
Mm, fine lads, all. It was a fair account that day, was it not?
It was, sir.
Unfortunate, of course, that such violent means are ever necessary. Fortunate, though, that they are invariably effective.
Gypsies never came back to that place.
Some of them never left it.
Who is it to be, sir, this time?
You anticipate me, Mr. Jenner. You'd be willing, then?
Reckon so, sir.
And the others?
Well, I
can't... Oh, you shall not lose by it. You have my word.
I think I dare answer for the others, too, then, sir.
Good. Then bring them to my house on Thursday as it grows dark.
Sir.
The man's name is Stanton. You'll have heard of him? Yes, you have, I see.
They say he's the devil, sir.
The more blessed you for ridding the world of him.
£50, no reason given. Mr. Morley Greenslade, likewise, £50, no reason given. Thomas Purchase, £40, no reason given.
Lawyer Nedworth, £200. Excellent.
No reason given. Jacob Smithson, Esquire, no reason given, £50, and £50 also from the widow. Yeah,
I can't make out this name.
Hudson.
£50 from the widow Hodgson, not to raise up the late Jedediah Hodgson for fear of scaring off her presently intended.
Widow Bainbridge for the same undertaking, more or less.
No entry. Well, what from her? Oh. The widow paid in kind, eh?
She was young. I thought so. Pretty, was she? Pliant?
Oh, well. Who shall blame you? They say there's many such in these parts. But what am I share, eh? Who shall divide up her?
Can I come in, Father?
Play a little longer, child.
But it's darkling outside, Father. I get scared. I don't want to be on my own.
Oh, very well, but be quiet. Sit and read.
But there's only the Bible here.
Read a psalm. We'll soon be done.
From the good Dr. Smee, £100.
Pounds or guineas?
Guineas.
£105, then. I've a preference for guineas. They divide the easier. It's 70 for me, 35 for you.
So much for the doctor. Well, that's all complete. Who remains?
Who can say?
Harkness, the quarry owner? Parson, Timson, the mayor?
Parson will be here presently. The mayor I am to visit tonight.
It is arranged?
Yes.
And Harkness?
May not bite. I cannot say.
Another widow, is there?
Too late, if there be.
Too late?
Too late for you.
Aye.
The count satisfies you?
Right.
You've finished your song. Yes.
How much will Parson and the mayor pay?
Be patient, Samuel. Have I ever cheated you?
No.
You'll get your share. You'll get your share in, where was it?
Hamblingside.
In Hamblingside, then. Be patient.
But how much do you think? 100? 2? I'll settle for 50 now.
No, Samuel, no. For I have to be sure, do I not? But at the sign of the cross keys in Hamblingside... Tuesday next at 8 o'clock.
I shall be there, never fear.
You, Samuel?
Apps. The poor, drunken Apps. He will be there.
Yes? Well, come in, Mr. Jenner.
The men are here, Mr. Agnes, sir.
Good. Close the door.
They're waiting outside, sir.
Are they willing?
Willing?
Oh, yes, sir.
Would that I could keep you company tonight, but there's no place for a lame man in such an enterprise.
A nasty tumble it must have been, sir.
An annoyance, merely. Well, waste no time about it presently. Well, you have no sudden qualms, surely.
Oh, not half of one between us, sir. Only...
Out with it, man.
We've no wish to be made look foolish, sir.
How foolish?
If this man can raise the dead, why might he not, being dead, raise up himself? You see my meaning, sir?
Of course.
Well, sir, would it be foolishness and labor lost to make one dead who won't remain so? And that's to say nothing of Mr. Stanton's anger against us when as he shall return.
Have you not, then, heard the reports from Brittany and beyond?
Why, sir, I've heard them, but I
The dead rise up in the condition they were in at death. Do you not see what that means? They who died young remain youthful. The old, old. A one-armed man, should he be raised, would still lack an arm. Those blind before will stay so. The deaf will not hear. The dead rise up again as men, not as spirits. They will be as they were.
Aye, sir.
Well, then, if Cass and Thomas and young Jamie and yourself fear the man Stanton and his possible return, the answer lies surely in your hands.
Sir?
Well, see to it, and see to it diligently, that what remains of him will constitute no possible threat, eh? Render him down, man. Leave no threatening part of him intact. Disassemble him. Do you understand now?
Aye, sir.
When it is done, let it be known what has happened. Admit nothing, but say the man is dead, and let the people know who to thank for it.
I will, sir.
Take the others round to the kitchens now. Tell them you are to be given food and ale.
Thank you kindly, sir.
And later, when the job is done, we shall celebrate indeed. The whole town shall celebrate.
Farewell, then.
Farewell.
Alice.
Goodbye.
Remember what I said. Till Tuesday, then.
Tuesday, aye. What has he said to you?
Hmm?
He told you to remember what he had said. What was it?
Nothing. Nonsense only. Father?
Yes?
You go to the mayor's tonight. May I come too?
You? Why?
I have a strange fancy. This is a bad place, Father. I want to stay with you. Please. Just this once.
It is better if I...
Please, please, Father.
Very well.
Look, Father. Here's Parson.
Where?
I think it's he. There, passing behind that great yew there.
He's before his time. Quick, make ready. The bottle under the table, sir, and the gold and the papers, sir. The Bible, too. Open upon the table. Parson must be made to feel at home. Now, where should it be open, think you? What suitable text for Parson Timpson? The last judgment in the book of Revelation? Too obvious, perhaps. A parable. The hidden talents? No. Such humor would be wasted upon him. Here we are. The word of Christ is reported by St. Matthew. Matthew, collector of dues. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Excellent. A good improving text. His foot upon the stair. A heavy step as one weighed down by many tribulations. Come, Parson. We'll help you through the needle's eye.
When the Almighty rides forth into battle, his bright herald angel will sound the alarm. With a helmet of righteousness we shall prepare us, and a visor of holiness to first all arm. Lo, at his side where the great sword of anger clear from his sheath shall be drawn on that day, and bloody the gloves of obedience spattered as cheerful his soldiers engage in the
servants of the Lord, eh, Cass?
Shall be
Thomas and Jamie, blessed forevermore.
It is promised salvation shall shine, victorious the brows of the conqueror laurel, and the crest the cross we shall wear for.
Mr. Benskin.
My respects, sir. I am most honored. God's blessing upon your threshold.
It is I, sir, who am honored. Pray, step this way.
Oh. My daughter, sir. Excuse her, if you please. She has a morbid fancy come upon her and must come with me whether I would or no. This gentleman is mayor of this fine town, child. Make your curtsy to him.
Your worship, sir.
Pretty creature. She will not disturb us in our talk, I promise you, Mr. Mayor. If you have some book to divert her, she will happily sit in the hall for an hour or more.
I have a book of scraps and pictures, if you...
If you please, sir. Have you a Bible here?
Yes, of course, somewhere.
I would like to read that, sir, if I may. I am engaged upon a reading of the Psalms at present.
Excellent, excellent. I'll ring for the girl. She'll fetch a Bible for you directly. If you'll just sit here now, she'll come at once. This way, sir, if you please.
Like a morgue in there.
More like one it'll be tomorrow.
Don't say such things. You want that he should hear you? Then where will we be?
He'll not hear me. He's gone out at last. Out to be entertained by the mayor, no less, and the girl with him.
He's back betimes, then. I just now heard him mount the stair to his room.
What? Never.
Harkee, then.
Mr. Staunton, sir. Mr. Staunton. Is that you, sir?
There, you see?
For someone I heard, that's certain.
What? Where are you going?
To see you there.
But there's work to be... Talk to yourself, Ned Pinch.
Some think the grave a melancholy place. But I must not think so, nor Alice. Our work lies there. We must not shirk it.
No, indeed.
Yes?
The word you used.
The grave?
Work.
My work? You do not like the word? Vocation, then. Will that serve?
But the words are not equivalent, sir. Work supposes an employment, a subjection to a master.
I am employed by the most exacting of masters.
Exactly. But such is not employment in the strictest sense. God does not pay you, for example, a wage, does he?
He provides.
I do not mean to pry, sir, but...
Proceed, please, Mr. Mayor. Let us have no secrets from each other. Your question?
How do you live?
Frugally, as you see, but by God's bounty.
God provides for you by my miracles?
Yes. By the greatest of miracles.
Sir?
Human generosity. Well, is not that a miracle indeed, that a man compounded of dust and sin should yet find charity in his soul?
Charity, eh?
Indeed, yes. The charity which derives from gratitude.
I see. But gratitude for what? For a deed done or a deed left undone?
Me, sir. Tench, the landlord.
Well?
Is there anything you're wanting, sir?
No. When there is, I'll ring. Go away. Leave me alone.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
I think you will concede, sir, that in many cases, death is a merciful release.
From pain, do you mean? Do not fear for the dead, sir. Death. The event of death. Purges all pain.
I meant a merciful release for the living, sir, not the dead.
Oh, as when the death, for instance, of one partner of a marriage sets the other partner free.
Exactly so.
But freedom, in spite of what the philosophers say, is not the natural state of man. Liberty may only be truly gained at a price.
Your glass is empty, sir. Allow me.
Thank you. But then, who may set a value upon such a thing as liberty?
One might try.
Suggest one.
£200?
Evening, Mr. Jenner, sir. Cass, Thomas, Jamie, some ale for you, gentlemen.
I've got time. Is one named Stanton here with you?
Mr. Stanton? Aye, he's upstairs.
Yeah, that's good.
A pot of ale for us, then, each one, and after that, to our business.
You have business with him, too? Seems as if half the town's been up and down these stairs the past few days.
He's had visitors before, then.
That's certain. Matt's been going nigh mad with all the tramping in and out.
And we'll be the last, I promise you. Bring up, lad.
£200, you said.
£300.
Now, there may be a way. A way here to redemption. But it will not be easy. God chose this town to be an instrument of his divine mercy. And it has rejected him.
Rejected?
You do not imagine that you are the first, do you? The first in this town to turn his back on God's blessing. But God is merciful. He will not bestow his gifts upon an unwilling people. Nor will this town, like Sodom, be cast down. He has directed me, and I will go on from here to find a worthier place.
Yes, I understand.
You have the money there? The money!
It's ready. I'll fetch it.
Wait! There is still one difficulty to be overcome.
A difficulty?
I trust it will not prove insuperable.
May I ask the nature of the difficulty?
God made a promise here through me. A promise as grave and binding as that he made in olden time through Noah and has kept hitherto. A promise to raise the dead in Towsham. Should he not do so, I through him not do so, how great would be the rejoicing among the godless. How the devil would triumph, shouting aloud, God is forsworn. He undertook to raise the Towsham dead. Why does he not?
We will say nothing. It shall be as it was before you
It
came.
Is not enough. Say that from Sterndale, or from Hambling's side where I shall go, they shall send a messenger, as you did into Bridney, and ask here, this man, this Stanton, claims to raise the dead in God's own name. Is he a true man or a false?
True, we shall say. A true man.
He raised the dead in Towsham?
Sir, he did.
You saw them?
I sure did. Yes, sir.
They danced, did they not, and laughed and shouted in the streets?
Yes, sir. All these things they did.
And they rest among you still, the dead?
Aye.
Very well. Remember this, if any ask.
I shall.
If you do not, I shall hear of it, you understand? I shall hear of it, and I shall return to fulfill my promise. Mine and God's. The dead shall rise here, and be assured, your wife shall be among them. Child.
Have you done, Father?
Yes, quite done, my precious. Farewell, sir. Pray that you and I shall not meet again.
Oh, not the drawer, four places. Not the drawer in the table. Jack Stanton, you disappoint me. Treasure trove.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes?
I'd like a word with you, sir.
Not now.
There's a message, sir, from Mr. Harkness.
Not now, I said.
Mr. Stanton, I'm told you raised the dead.
What's in the bag, Father?
Gold, child.
You'll not be raising Mrs. Benskin, then?
No, my precious, not for the present.
You'll not raise anyone here?
No.
I'd like to see it happen, just once. The dead people come out dancing and...
Yes?
Supposing someone wanted their dead to come back to them?
In that case...
Yes?
Hush. War there! People. Laughing.
From the inn, is it, Father?
You there!
Me, is it, sir?
Yes, you!
What is that noise?
That, sir? Why, that's music, sir. Laughing and singing.
What does it betoken?
You're a stranger here, sir.
Aye?
Aye, you'll not know. The devil has visited us here in Towsham.
Is that a cause for rejoicing?
Tis no, sir. He be dead.
Dead?
Many times over, so they say.
What does he mean, Father? Devil can't die, surely. Let's not go back. I don't like this place. I never liked it from the first. Let's go on, Father, eh? Where Samuel is. That's a pretty place by the sound of it. Why don't we go there? Isn't that a good idea? Join Sam. Father? Father?
Soon shall the evil one minions be riding, impaled on the spear of salvation sharp time. Victorious the brows of the conqueror, our oath and blood red the cross we shall wear for a
The Resurrectionist was written for radio by David Buck, with John Abinieri as Stanton, Madeline Smith as Alice, and David Buck as Timpson. Others in the cast were Tench, Barry Jackson, Apps and Samuel, Alan Moore, Meg, June Barry, Benskin, Ray Handy, Harkness, Paul Seed, Turvey, Gavin Campbell, Nedworth, Malcolm Gerard, Smee, Michael Tudor Barnes, and Jenna Brian Jackson. The program, which came from Bristol, was directed by Brian Miller.